Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back the governor of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee. Thank you for joining us, Governor.
My pleasure, Ian.
The economy remains the top issue in Rhode Island. We saw the unemployment rate in July tick up 0.1% to 8.9%. At the rate the state is adding jobs, Rhode Island won't reach its pre-recession level of employment until many years into the future. So, Governor, is that acceptable to you? And if not, how do you answer critics like State Republican Chairman Mark Smiley, who indicts the state's Democratic elected leaders for failing to do a better job?
Well, I do like to back up and put it in perspective. And in 2000, when the national economy was handed over to President Bush and Vice President Cheney, there was almost full statistical employment. The difficulty employers had was finding people. And then that administration, Republican administration, embarked on a huge tax-cutting agenda that favored the wealthy. They had a war in Iraq, which was expensive, and then they added a benefit to Medicare without any other savings. They added a prescription drug benefit. Each of those was about $1 trillion. $1 trillion worth of tax cuts, $1 trillion war in Iraq, $1 trillion benefit to Medicare, and they didn't pay for any of them. And as a result, the deficits cratered the economy. And that's what we're dealing with now. And I voted against all three of those on the national level. And so we're working hard. Since I came into office, the unemployment was at 11.3%. We're down below 9%, and we had 10 consecutive months of decline. We just leveled off about 8.8, 8.9, but that was important. 10 consecutive months of declining unemployment, and we're hearing that housing prices went up 22%. That's good news that the recovery is slower than we'd like, but passenger travel at TF Green Airport, we're hearing, is the best it's been over a sustained period of months since 2005.
As we know, Scott, there's been a multi-generational struggle in Rhode Island to get a new economy. What about it? Should the state's leaders be exhibiting some more boldness and urgency about trying to be more austere or offering new initiatives?
First of all, other states we've seen, I think some of this might be due to the federal sequester. Other states, Massachusetts, also just saw its unemployment rate inching up a bit. And we do know that the Massachusetts economy has been more robust than ours, certainly especially within the Boston 128 Beltway, which is a real innovation area. I sometimes think that because our workforce is not as well educated as either Connecticut or Massachusetts, that these things take a longer time to develop than we think. I think you have to make investments in particularly higher education and good training that, frankly, Rhode Island didn't do for many years. So I think we're playing catch up a little bit.
Maureen, what do you make of this criticism from State Republican Chairman Mark Smiley that legislative leaders and other elected officials in Rhode Island are just kind of fiddling around and not really dealing fundamentally with changes to improve the economy?
Well, I think it's really hard to talk about fundamental change. I think we're all moving in the right direction. I agree with the governor. The indices are going in the right direction. I do think the idea of a more aggressive approach that I think the legislature has picked up on in terms of evaluation, in terms of transparency, can be helpful.
I like to talk more about tax structure. And in my first budget, I talked about broadening and lowering the sales tax. And that just levels out our revenues through the ups and downs of the economy. That wasn't successful. Oddly, the business community were the biggest opponents. They flooded the state house in opposition. During the ups and downs of the economy, you want to have steady revenue streams. When times are good, you don't want to have good revenues and then spend that money, which happens. And then when times get tough, the revenues drop and you get into these deficits. So that broadening and lowering the sales tax, I thought, was worthy of a better debate than the knee-jerk opposition that occurred, especially by the business community.
Let's move on to another issue. Many residents and business owners in the East Bay remain upset about the new toll on the Saconnet River Bridge. The rationale from the State Department of Transportation has been that putting a toll on a bridge like the Saconnet River Bridge would subsidize the upkeep of other older, more deteriorating bridges. Is it time to rethink that strategy, Governor?
As far as the tolls go, the reason we're looking at tolls is because we failed to maintain the old Saconnet Bridge. And all you have to do is driving over the new Saconnet Bridge, if you're going towards Portsmouth, is look to your right. And you see an old bridge being torn down because we failed to maintain it. You talk about subsidizing all the bridges. It's just four. It's the four bridges that the Bridge and Turnpike Authority control: Mount Hope Bridge, Jamestown Bridge, Newport Bridge, and Saconnet Bridge. It's only those four. And as you mentioned, the high volume on the Saconnet Bridge means that if we toll that, then the tolls are going to be lower. If you toll the Mount Hope Bridge, for instance, with the lower volume, unfortunately, the tolls are going to be halved. So we had public hearings on all these issues, many, many public hearings, and they're no good decisions. I know people are feeling very, very stressed out there. The middle class is just being squeezed. It's just hard to get by. These are not decisions we like. But I'm not going to be rebuilding a bridge because we failed to maintain it. It's not going to happen while I'm governor.
So you're not backing away from that strategy?
Unless there's a better way to maintain our bridges, which there hasn't been yet, I will not pass on future costs to our children and grandchildren.
I just think the state has failed to make the decision. Is a bridge a user fee, or are we all in this together, Governor? In other words, should people in Burrville be contributing to the upkeep of a bridge over in the East Bay?
This debate is going on nationally, Scott, as we see the highway money contract, and that's because what they call the Prius effect. People are driving better mileage gas cars, and the federal highway money is generated by the gas tax. So as we use less gas, there's less money for the federal government to give to the states. You go to other states, you see new tolls coming up, and it's all, unfortunately, about user fees. It's just what you're talking about. Should someone in Burrville that never is going to go over the Susquehanna Bridge help pay for it?
Maureen, what do you think of the state's rationale that it makes sense to go where the drivers are, where the cars are? There's been a lot of pushback from residents in the East Bay, and what do you think?
I tend to agree with the governor in the sense that the notion of tolls has become one that we're going to have to think with and deal with because of the declining support that we're getting. And I think the strategy is, although I don't know, is you've got a toll on one side of the bay and a toll on the other. And even, you know, we are all in this together, as Scott said. And indeed, if we are all in it together, unfortunately, the people in Burrville are going to have to pay to sustain the structures that we have to keep our economy rolling and prevent the bridges from, as the governor said, falling down.
Let's quickly go through some questions from the panel for our guest, Governor Chafee. Governor, it seems every couple of days there's more revelations about how the NSA has been snooping and surveilling Americans. You've been a supporter of President Obama. Has his administration fallen down in offering oversight on the privacy rights of Americans?
And in the Fourth Amendment, they say if you're going to come into somebody's house or possessions, you have to have a warrant. And I'm a big civil liberties person. I think you should get that warrant. I don't think NSA should be snooping without a warrant. It's not that hard to get a warrant. That's what the Fourth Amendment says. We started it here in Rhode Island, these great liberties. And so as a Rhode Islander, I'm especially adamant about upholding the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution.
Let's go to Maureen.
Well, Governor, I wanted to ask you about education. The legislature bequeathed to you a somewhat awkward structure when it comes to post-secondary and as well as elementary and secondary education. But now the ball is in your court, and it seems that things are something of a muddle in terms of what's happening with NECAP and what's happening as far as support for higher education. What are you going to do to straighten this out?
Yes, you're right. Unfortunately, the legislature really didn't communicate with us as much as we would have liked as they combined these two boards, so we could have had discussions about it. And they cut the budget to higher education in half without a lot of communication with us. But nonetheless, we do have a good board, and we have a good commissioner of elementary and secondary education, Commissioner Gist, and we're working with some of her union opponents, teachers' unions, and trying to work on the key issues, which, as you mentioned, are NECAP and whether those NECAP scores are linked to teacher evaluation. It's a big, big issue. And also, of course, to everybody out there listening in Rhode Island, are they going to be linked to graduation rates? And so these are big issues, and also working with our new interim Commissioner Clark Green. So we have a good team in place. I'm very, very confident that these difficult decisions, where we go with NECAP, Common Core standards, these are all big, big issues. Also nationally,
And you're going to stay behind them.
Yes, I am.
Let's go to a question from Scott.
Governor, you've had some very tough political public opinion surveys. Why do you think your job approval numbers are so low?
Well, it came in with high unemployment and the middle class just being absolutely, I think, squished beyond how we can comprehend how difficult it is to make it. And I understand it. I understand the opposition to the tolls. I understand the opposition to beach fees. I understand any kind of broadening of a sales tax. We just have to do a good job of communicating that we're not going to leave debt for our children and grandchildren. These are tough decisions that have to be made.
We're out of time. We have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Governor Lincoln Chafee.
Thank you, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.